So we're here on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis, and we're actually up to the Mishnah, but I realize that it's going to take us a few minutes that we need a review of the last piece of Gemara here on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And this sugya has to do with what's called a kippah. So we're going to review the Gemara of Omar Abaye, which you'll see, let's say, about six lines up before the Mishnah. And what we're trying to figure out is when you have an archway, as we discussed last week, which is called a kippah, is it large enough to be considered a Pesach as far as the Chiyuv Mezuzah is concerned? And the basic principle of this Gemara is that you need two things. There are two requirements in order to validate a Pesach for the Chiyuv Mezuzah. One thing is that you need a gova asara. I'll get back to that in a minute. And number two, what you need is a rochav of dalit fachim. However, that rochav of dalit fachim has to be at a minimum height. And what it means is that you have to have what's called a Tchilas Pesach. The Tchilas Pesach, and then we'll get to the Gova, which is the clincher. But first we go on the bottom. The bottom part of the Pesach has to have a certain minimum width. And that minimum width has to be at a certain height. And that certain height is Gimel Tfachim. So you're three Tfachim up from the ground, and four tefachim wide. The second condition is that from the ground to the top of the kippah is a minimum of 10 tefachim. Again, we're talking about a very small opening, right? Because, you know, 10 tefachim, I don't know if it's, I don't even know if it reaches my waist, but it's quite small. But nevertheless, it's called a Pesach as far as Chiyuv Mezuzah. So we're going to have a statement of Abaye. Abaye is going to say that if you're missing one of these two conditions, then you're not going to be Chayev in Mezuzah. And then there's going to be another case where maybe it's like a borderline and we're going to have Machlokes called Chokikin Lahashlim. We'll explain. So again, all this should be a review to you, but honestly for me, I feel like I'm learning it, you know, for the first time. I think we rushed through it. So there are two cases where Abaye says that's beyond doubt, that's not questioned, it's not a Pesach, and you're not Chayev Mezuzah. It's missing one of those two conditions, meaning it doesn't have a width of Arba Tfachim at the height of three Tfachim, or it doesn't have a height of 10 tefachim. Omar Abaye, hakol modim. Okay, now we have A and inami B. So let's go through A. Im gavah asara, although it does have the height of 10 tefachim, but ein begover raglea shlosha tefachim, and here you have to add berochav arba tefachim. In other words, if you go up from the ground three tefachim, it's already moving towards the archway. You understand? It's curving up. So on the ground itself, it might be four tefachim. But as soon as you start going a little bit up, right, it's already getting narrow. You know, what example can I give? You know, it's like so narrow. It's if you go water skiing, you know, saying, well, what's that thing that they use to go water ski? You know, it's like really, really narrow. So Abaye says, how do I know?
Parallel.
What's it called?
Not parallel. It's not parallel.
All right, if that helps you, Don, it doesn't do anything for me. I'm talking about a very narrow, I don't know if it's, I see what you're saying. Oh, it's not a straight line. Is that what you mean? Like right. like a vertical 90 degree angle kind of line. Right.
It curves in.
Okay. Correct. Well, so what happens? It curves in, and now you have a very narrow passageway already, like from the bottom and up. It's from the bottom. It's already narrow. How narrow is it? It's less than arba tefachim. As soon as you get up to three tefachim, so that's the first vadai potter mi mezuzah, because it's ein biraglea. It's the two. You know, the 2 feet, so to speak, of this archway as they begin to climb up from the ground, it's Ein Beraglea Shloshev Tfachim Berochav Arba Tfachim. So already, you know, it's like a couple of, like a foot, you know, before you get 1 foot up from the ground, it's already narrowed. And it's curved, as you say, and therefore it doesn't have a Rochav of Arba Tfachim. Inami. Now we have the second case. Now we have 4 tefachim wide at the gova at the height of 3 tefachim. So we have a tchilas ha-pesach. Tchila meaning going in the basics, you know, down on the ground, we have a pesach. But ein gavoa asar tefachim. But the top of the archway is less than 10 tefachim high. Is low klum. Everybody agrees that's not a Pesach, and you're potter from mezuzah. Oh, key pligi, but we have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, and we weren't sure exactly what the case was. Here's the case. Yesh beraglea shlosha tfachim. You have 4 tfachim wide at the gova of 3 tefachim, ugava asara, and the top of the archway is 10 tefachim high. So what's your problem? The answer is it's not rectangular. It's circular. And therefore, ein rechava arba, we need 4 tefachim from the bottom and all the way up to 10 tefachim. We don't have it. Because before it gets to 10 tefachim, it starts getting narrow. It starts moving inward. So by the time we get to the top of the 10 tefachim, maybe we have a rochav of, I don't know, maybe 1 tefach, but we certainly don't have the rochav of our bar tefachim. So why is there a bechlal shita of Rabbi Meir that in this case he's chayav in mezuzah? And the answer is because yesh ba lachok, and he has a possibility of taking this circular top, this archway, as we said, and converting it into a rectangle by chipping away at the top of the kosel. And that's called lachok. Lachok means to chisel away at the wall. And now you can take this round shape and make it into a rectangular shape. Lashlima larba. So what you could imagine is that if you were to draw a rectangle that is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, at a certain point, let's call it, I don't know, 8 tefachim high. At that point, it starts getting narrow for the last 2 tefachim. Just giving you an example. And it's no longer Rach of Arba. But what you could do is, if you imagine this circular archway inside a rectangle, then, again, you could, I'm sure there are formulas here, but I don't have the formula right now mathematically, but you could figure out how much you would need in order to make this circle into the rectangle. So you build, like you draw on a piece of paper, an imaginary rectangle, where on the gova of asara tefachim, you have a width of 4 tefachim. And now you put the circular archway inside this rectangle, and as you get towards the top, it narrows. The tippy top of this archway is 10 tefachim high. And you have this, you know, these on the right and the left of this archway on top, you have that part of the wall that has to be chiseled out to make it into a rectangle, so that the four tefachim width will be all the way up till the ten tefachim height. Is Rabbi Meir Sover Chokikin Lahashlim, meaning we could imagine from the Aschola, since we had Aschola, we have a good solid base to stand on, because down on the bottom, when you go up three tefachim high, it's four tefachim wide, so we can now extend that, and imagine that it went all the way up to the top, and Chokim Lahashlim, as if to say that L'mali Yesh Begov Asar Tefachim Rochav of Arba Tefachim. We judge this kippah as if we had chiseled out the wall, we had broadened the opening on the top to make it into a rectangle, and to broaden the width from one side to the other, from the right to the left, and make it into a full four tefachim wide. For Rabbanan Savri, ain chokikin lahashlim. And Rabbanan deny the whole business. And they hold that we can't make these imaginary chakikos. What we see is what we get, and what we get is what we see. And right now, we don't have the measurements necessary for a Pesach, for a mezuzah, which would mean that we have four tefachim wide on the gova, the height of ten tefachim. Now, as a result, it comes out that in the previous story about Rav Sheshes and the Reish Galusa, that he took the law into his own hands, and because he was unaware of this brisa, and he said, what was the story? I'll just review it very quickly. Also, Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes turns to his second in command, Rav Gada, and he says, "Zil shlof shadinu." You know, take away these kanim from the Tzuras HaPesach. So, there was an issue as to whether or not a Tzuras HaPesach, the korah on top of the Tzuras HaPesach, has to be sitting directly with contact onto the two vertical poles. And Rav Sheshes insisted that yes. And that was against Rav Nachman when the Reish Galusa, approached, the members of the household, the Reish Galusa, approached Rav Nachman. He paskened for them that this Tzuras HaPesach was reliable, even though it wasn't sitting directly on top of the two kanim. And when Rav Sheshes got wind of this, he instructed his second-in-command to just take it apart. And that's when they put him in jail, and this and that. And then Rav Sheshes says, let him out of jail. But Rav Sheshes really made a mistake, because he was unaware of this discussion about Chokikim Lahashlim. And what you see from Chokikim Lahashlim is that we can view the imaginary part on top as if it was sitting on the Pesach. Amalei, so he tells one of the Amoraim, he says, Yimishkacheslu, if you come in contact with the household of the Reish Galusa, lo temeluhu lebei Reish Galusa velo midi. Meha devasnisa the keeper. In other words, don't tell him about this brisa, because that's going to be very embarrassing, because I wasn't aware of the brisa. And just tell him that I changed my mind. You know, I made a mistake in my psak. You don't need that the kana lamala, which we call the korah, has to be touching the two kanim on the two sides of the Tzuras HaPesach. And I changed my psak, and it's acceptable and it's reliable. So the footnote here points out that the poskim, like starting with the Rif, they paskin like Rav Nachman, and for Tzuras HaPesach ein hakanim tzrichim liga Beknei Bekana Elyon. So the two kanim that are vertical don't have to have direct contact with the horizontal kana on the top. And that's because we have a brisa to support the shita of Rav Nachman, and in fact Rav Sheshes himself backtracked. And he took it and he took back his original psak. Just want to read one more note here, and then we'll start the new Mishnah. Mitzvah Shem. Okay, so again, Shir Pesach Lischayev B'mezuzah Hu Gova Asor Tfachim B'rochav Arba. Aval Yesh Ofanim Shafil K'she'em Bo Shir Zu Dorim Also Kilu Nechkak Bekir. And that's called Chokikin Lahashlim, based on the fact that we have the basis here, what he calls Tchilas HaPesach. So we need at a Gova of three Tfachim, a Rochav of Arba, and we need a Gova of Asara Tfachim. Fine. I was just looking for one thing, if I could find it. Just 1 second. Vice Zuya. So what's the proof over here? That in this case, that's beautiful. If you take a look at the two vertical, the vertical lines here, which what does he call them? He calls them the mezuzos, and he talks about the mashkofa elyon, right? So the mashkofa elyon, which is at the height of 10 tfachim, is not really sitting on the two. On the two parallel lines, you know, the vertical lines, which are called mezuzos, right? Because once these vertical lines start bending in a circular motion towards the archway, then at that point, where do you have a vertical line, a mezuzah, that hits the mashkof and touches the mashkof? You don't have that. So there's aloch of chokin lahashlim, as if to say that we had a gova of 10 tfachim with a rochav of arba amos, of arba tfachim, but we certainly don't have any actual contact. And the eagle, he says, the round part of the archway is mafzik bein hamezuzos Lemashkofa Elyon. And nevertheless, we're going to consider it a Pesach. Okay, that leads us to the Mishnah. So we begin the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And we're talking about a Hechsher Mavui. And a lot of what we're going to learn now are the basics. You know, it's almost like, to some extent, we're going back to the first Mishnah in the Masechta. Hechsher Mavui, Beit Shammai Omrim Lechi Vekora. Beit Shammai require two elements. Number one, a Lechi, okay, and number two, a Kora. Now, the height of the Lechi, as we'll see, is 10 Tfachim high. We don't need any thickness, any width. And a korah has to have the minimum width of a tefach. So Beit Shammai require A plus B. Lechi v'korah. U'Beis Hillel omrim, o lechi o korah. One of the two suffices. Rabbi Eliezer omer, lechayayim. What you need is two lechis. One lechi on this side and one lechi on this side. The Gemara is going to discuss whether Rabbi Lezer is a third shita or he's trying to reinterpret Beit Shammai, but he requires a lechi here and a lechi there. Let me point out that when it comes to a chatzer, if you remember, there was one sheet of Rebbe that required a pas and a pas. On each side, he required a pas. And this sheet of Rabbi Eliezer here in our Mishnah, which again might be an interpretation of Beit Shammai, but be that as it may, requiring a lechi on this side and a lechi on that side, is very reminiscent of the sheet of Rebbe with regard to a chatzer, but here we're not talking about a chatzer, we're talking about a mavui. A lot of what we're going to discuss is what's the difference between a mavui and a chatzer. Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Omar, Talmud Echad Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. So there were two great rabbis. There was Rabbi Yishmael and there was Rabbi Akiva. And there was some overlap of students. So one of the students came in front of Rabbi Akiva and he transmitted a halacha that he heard from Rabbi Yishmael. He was sort of like the courier. And he says, Lo nechleku beit shami beit sila mavui shu pachos mi'ar ba'amos shu nitar obelech yoburuch el man nechleku al rochav mi'ar ba'amos v'ad eser amos. So according to this transmission, Beit Shammai agreed to Beis Hillel in a case of a very narrow mavui. What's a very narrow mavui? It's less than 4 amos wide. If it's less than 4 amos wide, then all you need is, even according to Beit Shammai, a lechi or a korah. When do Beit Shammai step up and they argue against Beis Hillel? You need both a lechi and a korah. The two together are absolutely critical. That's in a case of a mavui that has an opening that's beyond arba amos. It's greater than arba amos. Again, the maximum is 10 amos. That's because we said that if it's 10 amos wide, then it doesn't lend itself to have to mavui unless you decrease the width, you might. So in this case, where the Pesach on the Mavui is 4 amos wide, then we have a Machlokas Beit Sil Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai requires both a Lechi and a Korah, or maybe 2 Lechis, and Beit Sil say, O Lechi, O Korah. But in the case of a Mavui that has an opening less than 4 amos, even Beit Shammai agree that it's either a Lechi or a Korah, and you don't need both. Now there's a long discussion here in the Ran as to why there's so much energy being spent on Beit Shammai. You know, we have a principle that Beit Shammai b'moko Beis Hillel eino Mishnah. You know, we don't paskin like Beit Shammai when Beis Hillel reject Beit Shammai. And with regard to Beis Hillel, everybody agrees that it matters not what's the width of the Pesach HaMavui, whether it's less than 4 amos, more than 4 amos, all you require is either a Lechi or a Korah. In a sense, this whole discussion with the Talmud Echad is only theoretical, conceptual. What would Beit Shammai say about a Pesach HaMavui that's less than 4 amos? Why do we need this? And why was this incorporated, codified in our Mishnah, since we never paskin like Beit Shammai? So the Ran answers that the Gemara later on Daf Yud Beis, is going to bring a Braisa, and the Braisa is going to spend a lot of time on the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. What would be if the mavui is very narrow? So our Mishnah, records the testimony of a Talmud in order that when we get to that Braisa, we'll be able to compare that Braisa to our Mishnah about the scope of the machlokas Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Om Rabbi Akiva. So now this Talmud gave a report in the name of Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Akiva. Al zevi al zeh nechleku. Rabbi Akiva says, no, I happen to know that Beit Shammai argue even if the Mavui has a Pesach that is less than Arba Amos. Even in that case, they require both a Lechi and an Akorah. And once again, we're finding it very fascinating that Rabbi Akiva is really just analyzing the Shita of Beit Shammai, and we don't paskin like Beit Shammai. So that's the point that we made before. And now we start the Gemara. Now the Gemara thinks that the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is in the case of a mavui mefulash. where both sides, both ends of this alleyway spill into a Rishus HaRab. Kiman, delo kichananya velo kitanakama. This Bryce, in the case of Moiv Fulosh, does not shtim, it doesn't it cannot be reconciled neither with Chananya nor with the Tanakam. So now we're going to do a quick review of what we did back on Dav Vav. You may recall we spent a lot of time on this issue. And what happens if you have a Movi Mefulash? And Beit Shammai was the one who said you need a Adelas Mikan and a Adelas Mikan. And Chananya said no. All you need is a Adelas Mikan and a Lechi Mikan. And the Tanakhama said that all you need is a Lechi Mikan and a Lechi Mikan. I'm sorry. All you need is a Tzuras HaPesach Mikan and a Lechi Mikan. You don't need a Delis. Here, in our Mishnah, we're talking about a Mavi Mefulash, in the Havamina of the Gemara, and the Mishnah says all you need is a Lechi or a Korah according to Vesil, Lechi and a Korah according to Beit Shammai. No one requires not a Tzuras HaPesach, not a Delas. That's a new Shita. Om Rabbi Yehuda Hachikomer. Nein, that's not our Mishnah here. Hechsher Mavi Sosu. We have a Mavi that's closed on three sides, it's only open on the fourth side. Into Rishus HaRabim. Ketzad, how are you masaking such a Mavi to allow Tiltul? Because again, since it opens up into Rishus HaRabim, it looks very much like a Rishus HaRabim. So we really want to close off the fourth side, is Beit Shammai Omrim, in order to really be totally sure about it and obvious about it, that you're closing off the fourth side, you need both a Lechi and a Korah, and they still say no. All you need is either a Lechi or a Korah. But in the case of a Mavi Mefulash, everybody agrees that you cannot be Machshir a Mavi Mefulash with a Lechi or a Korah. You need a Deles, you need a Pesach, Tzuras HaPesach. You certainly need more than just a Lechi or a Korah. He writes here that in the Havamina of the Gemara, you need, according to Beisilel, a Delis Mikan, Velechi Kor Mikan. But nobody would say that in a Mavi Mefulash, you can get away with a Lechi Mikan and a Lechi Mikan. Meaning at each end of the Mavi, just put up a Lechi or a Korah. Nobody accepts that Shita. So we must be talking about a Mavi Mefulash. Beit Shammai Omrim Lechi Vekora Lemeimer Dekosavri Beit Shammai Arba Mechitzos Da'oraisa. Wow. As I indicated to you, we're really getting back to basics now. What we're saying is that according to Beit Shammai, we must get a Mechitza on the fourth side. We have three very healthy bona fide mechitzos on three sides. Now we need a mechitza on the fourth side. And why is that? Because we have to convert this mavui into a rishus hayachid. If it's not a rishus hayachid, then it's kind of like a rishus harabim. I mean, rabbinically at least, it's a rishus harabim, and you would not be allowed to carry in the mavui. We have to convert it into a rishus hayachid. And now the Gemara is assuming that Beit Shammai hold that you need four mechitzos in order to set up a rishus hayachid. Now let's just review. Way back when, you may remember that overpass, when you had two batim on two different sides of a rishus harabim. And and there was an overpass, and that was Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that the area between the two batim is called a Rishus HaYochid, because there are two mechitzos. And then Rabbi Yehuda requires a lechi and another lechi on the two sides of the house. In other words, if one house faces the other, on the right side and the left side, Rabbi Yehuda puts up a lechi here and a lechi there. and he allows you to carry from one house to another house, right? Even over Shusarab. And the reason for that is because Rabbi Yehuda holds Shtei Mechitzos Doraisa, two Mechitzos set up for Rishus HaYochid. Then we have our Shita, the way we've been taught, you know, since Sheshis Yimei Breishis, that three Mechitzos make a Rishus HaYochid Doraisa. Now we have a third Shita in the Havamina of the Gemara of Beit Shammai, that you need four Mechitzos to create a Rishus HaYochid Doraisa. Now, in a funny kind of sense, this might be a kula. Well, we think of it as a chumra because we want to allow you to carry there. We need a fourth mechitza according to this understanding of Beit Shammai. But there's also a kula because what it means is, in the absence of the fourth mechitza, if I were to carry something from Rishus HaRabim into this mavui that only has three mechitzos, then I'd be potter, according to this understanding of Beit Shammai, because I didn't take it into Rishus HaYochid. It's not closed off, hermetically sealed on the fourth side. But the Gemara seems to be very, very hesitant, almost as a natural recoil from the possibility that we really need four mechitzos. And not only that, I would like to study the possibility that you can create a fourth mechitza for a lechi, with a lechi and a korah. I'm just not exactly understanding how that works. I mean, does the lechi create a mechitza going this way, or does the korah create a mechitza going down, you know, with peep, you know, sosem? He writes here, the name of Rabbeinu Peretz in the footnote, that the Torah only recognizes a Rishus HaYochid if there are four mechitzos mamish. She'im ken lo moel bazel lechi v'korah. Like we said before, lechi and a korah would not be enough to really create a fourth mechitza doraisa. El hakavona hi shetzorich shem arba mechitzos. You need some sort of halachic category called a fourth mechitza. The item, Sholosh Mechitzos Gemuros, three full-fledged mechitzos, and then you need another mechitza, which is a quasi-mechitza. He calls it a mechitza kol shehu. And even to get a mechitza kol shehu, you would require, according to Beit Shammai, a lechi and a korah. And why do we need both? Because again, if we hold that midoraisa, this mavui, because it has three mechitzos gemuros, is a rishus hayachid. So then all I need is a heker. You know, I have to make sure that people realize that this mavui is a rishus hayachid. They shouldn't confuse it with rishus harab, because again, it looks like rishus harab in the fact that the rabbim, you know, enter in there and they spill into the mavui. So we have to get a heker. So the heker is either a lechi, or it's a korah. But now we're saying no, that according to Beit Shammai, it's not enough just to set up a heker, we need a fourth mechitza. Again, it's not going to be a real mechitza. We have three real mechitzos, which we call mechitzos gemuros. Now we have a mechitza she'eina gemura, which is called a mechitza kol shehu. And how do you create a mechitza kol shehu? By combining a korah with a lechi. You know, the korah sort of closes off this mechitza on top, and it represents the height of the mechitza. The lechi represents the width of the mechitza. And when we combine the two, we end up with producing a mechitza kol shehu. Lo, says the Gemara, no, that's not what's going on here in Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai would be moder that lizrok mishalosh hu demechayev. Let's say Lizrok, he picks up an object in a Rishus HaRabim and he throws it into this Mavui that has only three Mechitzos. He would be Chayev. Beit Shammai agree that three Mechitzos are enough to generate a Rishus HaYochid De'orais. So again, not like I said before, that you need four Mechitzos L'kula, and if you only have three, if you carry something from Rishus HaRabim into the three Mechitzos, you're potter. No. Beit Shammai would agree that three mechitzos yachayev, it's a Rishus HaYochid Doraisa. However, Litaltel, now you want to be Mekil, and you want to say that three mechitzah are enough to create a Rishus HaYoch, which is true Midaraisa, but let me go ahead and allow you to carry in that area, as if it were a full-fledged Rishus HaYoch, like inside my house. Ad Ikar Ba. Now I need four mechitzahs. So I need a fourth mechitzah Midarabanan. That's the unique sheet of Beis Shammai, in order to be Matir Tiltel. Because the Rabbanan are going to say that even though it has three mechitzas which on a Daraisa level make it into a Rishus HaYochid, we're not going to allow you to carry there unless you put up a fourth mechitza. That fourth mechitza does not have to be a mechitza gemura, as we saw Rabbeinu Peretz. It's got to be a mechitza kolshu. And how do you create that kolshu? By setting up a korah and a lechi. Now we get to Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai, Omrim, O Belechi, O Bekora. Lema, shall we say, because Savri, Beit Silil, Sholosh Mechitzos Do'oraisa. In other words, now we're coming Lafuke Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, we said according to Rabbi Yehuda, all you need is two Mechitzos to create a Rishus HaYochid Do'oraisa. Now we're assuming that you need three Mechitzos according to Beit Silil. Midoraisa, because again, if two mechitzas were enough, then you would not require a third mechitza by setting up a lechi. I'm sorry, that if you had three mechitzos in this mavui, then you would not require a lechi and a korah on the fourth side. Let me see if I understand the logic of the Gemara. If I can convince you that I'm right. If Beis Hillel hold that two mechitzas are enough d'oraisa, then all you need on a d'rabbanan level is to add a third mechitza. Once you add that third mechitza, for example, if you have a classic mavui, that sasum, right, that has three mechitzos, then that should be enough, because I added another mechitza on top of what the Torah required. So do we say, therefore, that according to Beis Hillel, we should derive the conclusion that you need Shalosh Mechitzas D'oraisa? And again, let me read to you, he has the Rashba, he says, Share Ilu Hayu Sovrim, if Beis Hillel would hold, Shedai b'shtei mechitzos, which, as we said before, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that all you need is two mechitzos to set up Rishus HaYochid Do'oraisa, is lo avi matzrichinon lasos lemavui sholosh mechitzos gemuros eladai beruach shlishis belechi obakora. Do you follow? If we have a requirement midoraisa of three mechitzos, then on the fourth mechitza, the fourth side, you need a lechi or a korah. And that sets up a quasi-fourth mechitza. But if you hold that all you need midaraisa is two mechitzos, then that should be enough to allow you on the third side to set up a lechi or a korah. Why do Beis Hillel only allow a lechi or a korah when there are three complete mechitzos? If midaraisa, all you need to set up Rishus HaYochid is two mechitzos. Okay, that's the Rashba's understanding of this Gemara. So he's going to prove that according to Beis Hillel, you need three mechitzos d'oraisa, and that's why the Lechi and Korah is only effective on the fourth side. Now the Gemara says, lo, you have no proof. It could be that when we talk about lechumra, which means a man is standing in Rishus HaRav and he throws an object into this area that is enclosed by two mechitzas on two sides, is lizrok mishtayim hu demechayev, all you need is two mechitzas d'oraisa, and you're going to be chayev. And this would certainly be the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe they still accept that sheet. But letaltel, now we're talking about a drabbanon, adi ika sholosh, plus lechi v'korah. So Gemara says that even if you hold two mechitzah are enough, midrabanan, it really looks like a rishus rabbit. Like that case I gave you before, we have two houses on two sides of a public thoroughfare. It really looks like between the two houses is a rishus rabbit. So the first and foremost requirement on a drabanan level is to set up a third mechitzah. Okay, now you have a third mechitzah. So you're on the way. You know, it's already being closed off. It's looking more and more like a private area. But on top to boot, the Rabbana require a lechi v'korah. So it's not the way that you understood it in your question, that if two mechitzas d'oraisa are enough, all I would need on the third side is a lechi or a korah. No. There's a great gap here between the d'oraisa halacha and the Rabbana halacha. The d'oraisa halacha requires two mechitzos, and if somebody would throw something from Rosh Hashanah between these two mechitzos, he'd be chayav. But the Rabbanan have a double requirement. Their goal is, in some sense, to end up with four mechitzos. That's what they require. So they're going to break it down into two elements. One element is going to be a third mechitzo, which is a mechitza gemura, an absolute mechitza, and then they're going to suffice on the fourth side with a lechi or a korah. He says, in the name of the Ritvak Shekein, Ein amokum nira la noshim kirshus hayochid im ein heker beruach revius. In other words, when you're dealing with the mentality of the rank and file citizen, his concept, his vision of Rishus HaYochid, he doesn't know theoretical concepts in Halacha. He thinks that Rishus HaYochid is an area that's completely enclosed. And we can satisfy that need by setting up a mavui of three mechitzos and setting up a lechi and a korah on the fourth side. Now he has here a kashiv in the Tosa Rosh. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but let's just see if we can get anything out of it. He said, Ketzad, what was the Gemara thinking in the Havamina? Nitan lochiach midivrei Beit Silel, sheshalosh mechitzas doraisa, are itochin lomar, shetama dover shenochtu divreim, legabay mavui, sheyeshlo shalosh mechitz gemurus kedei lashvienu, sha'af ba'ofen kazeh, tzorech lechi, o korb dofen revius? Wow. The Tosa Rosh says, I don't understand the premise of the Gemara. If one would argue that according to Beis Hillel, on a Doraisa level, all you need is two mechitzos to set up a Rosh Hashanah, then it could be, then a Mavui, you could be Mater Mavui with a Lechi or a Korah on the third side. And one side could be totally, totally open. Why does the Mishnah and Beis Hillel speak about a Mavi that has three mechitzos gemuros and add a lechi of a korah? It wants to teach us that even in a case where it has three mechitzos gemuros, we still need a lechi and a korah. But in the absence of a third mechitza gemura, for sure you would need a lechi and a korah, and that would suffice. The Odin, he says, furthermore, Shehutzuchu Lahotzi Midas Beit Shammai Asovrim Shetorch Lechi V'Korah B'Revius. Maybe again, the reason why Beis Hillel require a Lechi or a Korah in the Revius, even though that should be sufficient in the Shlishes, is Lafuke to exclude Beit Shammai, they require both a Lechi and a Korah in the Ruach Revius. Ach Liolam, it's possible, Shem Sovrim Shedai B'Shtei Mechitzas Gemuris Min HaTorah. So now the Tosa Rosh is stuck with trying to understand why the Gemara initially thinks that, according to Beis Hillel, it must be that that two mechitzos would not be enough to on a Doraisa level. Al kein pirush b'ofen acher shekavonas haGemara lema kasovri Beit Shama Beis Hillel shalosh mechitzos Doraisa kachi shemi acher v'sovri Beis Hillel. Shedai belechi over korban mechitzah revius yesh lo chiyach mikach shein tzorch arba mechitzas min haTorah eladai b'sholosh. So the Tosa Rosh is learning a whole different pshat in the Gemara. One second. No, maybe it's not so far from our pshat. We said the Gemara in the Hava Mina thought that you require sholosh mechitzas d'oraisa. What's he saying now? Ella Piresh, where I lost the place for a second. Oh, here it is. Ela pireish bi ofenach. Shekavonis ha-gemora kachi. Shemi achar the sovereign beis hillel shedai belechi al korban chitzer v'yis yeshokiach mikach she'ein tzorech arva mechitzos min ha-torah. So again, we thought that the Gemara was trying to prove that what? That you need three mechitzos. Right? That Beis Hillel holds you need a third mechitza. So now he's learning different. He's saying the Gemara wanted to prove that you don't need a fourth mechitza. As far as whether you need a third mechitza is concerned, that we don't know. We can't know that one way or the other. But one thing we can deduce is that you don't need four mechitzos, midoraisa. Because you need four mechitzos, doraisa, then it would be impossible that the lechi and korah would help in the case of a mavui to substitute for the fourth mechitza to set up a rishus hayochid. So again, just to summarize, there's the Rashba's understanding of this Gemara, that's the way we interpreted it, and the Rosh's understanding of the Gemara. The Rashba understood that the Gemara wanted to prove that according to Beis Hillel, you need a third Mechitza Doraisa. Because otherwise, Beis Hillel would have allowed for a Lechi Akora on the third side, instead of requiring it on the fourth side. And now we have the Rosh's interpretation, that the Gemara is just trying to prove that Beis Hillel does not require four mechitzos midoraisa. Obviously, because Lechi and Korah are sufficient. However, if you want to know what would Beis Hillel say about two mechitzos, that we don't know. That becomes, that's in the dark. We have no answer to that question. And then the Gemara answers, Lo, Mishtayim hu d'mechaya. Now, how is the Rosh going to interpret those words? According to the Rashba, it makes a lot more sense that the Gemara is trying to say, no, I had no proof that you require a third mechitza. It could be that two mechitzos would be good enough. Now, how is the Rosh interpreting these words? Because, again, we're trying to prove, according to the Rosh, that he doesn't have a requirement of four mechitzos d'oraisa. So why did Gemara come back and say, Mishtayim hu d'mechayev? I guess the Rosh is going to learn, it's even possible, Mishtayim. Right, which the Gemara, it's a little odd, because according to the Rosh, the Gemara, even in the Havamina, recognized the possibility that Beis Hillel might require no more than two mechitzas d'oraisa. So I don't know, the language of the Gemara is a little bit problematic here, according to the Rosh. What does it mean? Lo, mishtayim hu d'mechayev. And the Gemara shouldn't have been putting the emphasis on mishtayim hu d'mechayev. According to the Rosh, we wanted to prove that you don't need three mechitzas. I'm sorry, that you don't need four mechitzas. So the Gemara should have said, no, maybe you would need four mechitzos, but it's enough that you have three mechitzos plus a lechi, or three mechitzos. Alright, let's just go on now in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer L'Chayayim. Rabbi Eliezer requires two lechis. Ibailahu. How do we understand Rabbi Eliezer? L'Chayayim Vikora ka'omar, o dilma l'chayayim below korah ka'omar. In other words, does Rabbi Eliezer require an additional lechi? For example, Beit Shammai hold you need both a korah and a lechi, and Rabbi Eliezer says it's not enough to have a korah and a lechi. You need a korah and two l'chayayim. Oh, Dilma, well, perhaps Rabbi Eliezer is saying that l'chayayim below korah ka'omar. That, according to Beis Shammai, when they require both a lechi and a korah, it's not an absolute. You've got two alternatives. You can either have both a lechi and a korah, or instead of a korah, you could have a second lechi. According to the first tzad, Rabbi Eliezer has an absolute requirement of two lechayayim. Probably it means that according to Beit Shammai, you need a korah and a lechi, and Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that what does Beit Shammai have in mind when he said you need a korah and a lechi? It means two lechis. So you need a korah plus two lechis. Oh, Dilma. Well, perhaps Rabbi Eliezer was analyzing Beit Shammai in the following way, that you have a lechi or a korah. I'm sorry, a lechi and or a korah or a second lechi. Those are your two possibilities. Toshma, we're going to derive from a braisa maisa by Rabbi Eliezer. Sheholach Eitzel Rabbi Yossi ben Preda Talmido. So Rabbi Eliezer is visiting his student, Rabbi Yossi. And here we turn to Daf Yud Beis, Amud Aleph. And where do they meet? In a place called Ovalim. Alright, that's the name of the town. Umitsa'o. And he finds Rabbi Yossi, his Talmud, Yoshev b'mavui, she'ein lo el lechi echad. There was only one lechi. Amalo, so Rabbi Eliezer turns to his Talmud, and he says, B'ni, my son, my beloved Talmud, I say lechi acher. You need a second lechi. Amalo, so Rabbi Yossi turns to his Rebbe and he says, as a question, he says, V'chila sosmo ani tzarech? Why are you requiring me to put up a second lechi? Do I have to absolutely close off my mavui? In other words, if I would put a lechi on each side of the Pesach, then it's going to diminish the width of the entrance of the opening into the mavui, and it's going to make it like it's sasu. Amalo, so Rabbi Eliezer responded, Yisase, umabakach. What's your problem? Let it look sasu. If the din is that you have to be sosem and close it off, that's what you have to do. Then the Braisa continues. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, lo nechleku beit shamay beis hil al mavui, shehu pachos. Oh, shehu pachos mi arba ama sheino tzor klum. Wow, that's, we're going to have to come back to that tomorrow. Sheino tzor klum. Doesn't need any tikkun at all if it's less than 4 amos wide. Al ma nechleku al rochav me'ar ba'amos v'yad esesh beit shamay omrim tzorech letakno al yidei lechi v'kor beit shil omrim o lechi o kora. Oh, so now let's see what we're getting out of this braisa. K'toni mi'as, what do we see from this braisa? That Rabbi Yossi turns to his Rebbe and he says, V'chila sosmo ani tzorech, do I have to close it off? I'amrit bishleimo, if you're going to tell me that lechayayim v'korah, that Rabbi Eliezer was adding a second lechi on top of the lechi in korah, is mishog m'halchi omar. Now we justify the language v'chila sosmo ani tzorech. Now it's really sosum. It's sosum on top, sosum on one side, sosum on the other side. It's completely closed off. El i'amrit lechayayim below korah. If he's adding a second lechi and as a requirement on the other side, mila sosmo. Why is that called closing it all off? Well, what did Rabbi Yossi mean when he turned to his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, and he said, are you requiring me that I do a stima? This is not total stima. Hachi kamer. Somebody says, no. V'chila sosma b'lachayayim ani tzarech. He understood that if you require a second lechi, even if you don't have a korah on top, that itself is called l'sosmo. And that will, Mirtz Hashem, that's going to be the kickoff of tomorrow's discussion. Okay, then, so we'll stop here on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and we'll start with Omar Mar officially, but we'll review it tomorrow. Okay, then.